is Pulse and Flicker finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Who's this?
Andrew, my name is Jack Bauer. I work for Secretary of Defense Heller. Secretary Heller was kidnapped less than half an hour ago. I believe the same people that kidnapped him are the ones that are chasing you now. The safest thing for you to do right now is let me bring you in.
I found the person who stumbled onto our server.
Is he with you now?
No, I'll have him shortly.
Find out who he's talked to.
Who are you?
I'm the man scorned to kill you if you don't follow my instructions.
This is a simple task, Varus. But these are the ones where mistakes can be made.
Gabby, what are you doing here?
I followed you.
Omar saw you with someone outside the compound.
She didn't see anything. I made sure of it.
We've spent years planning for this, waiting for this day to come. Now it's here, and you've compromised everything.
It's a simple job, Ronnie. You pick up the subject and you bring him in.
Bauer has not been in the field for a year and a half, okay?
Which is why I need you to keep him on a tight leash.
For the record, Jack, I think Driscoll made a mistake by letting you come along.
You get the gate, I'll get the kid out of the car.
As LaBelle challenges Khalil, Khalil shoots him dead and speeds off in the Lexus with Andrew Page bound in the back. Jack trails them in LaBelle's four-track. Back at CTU.
My father's the Secretary of Defense.
Richard, right now you're the only witness to your father and your sister's kidnapping. We need your help. You don't have anything to hide, do you?
We'll be fine, Audie. We're still on U.S. soil.
What are they going to do to us?
I don't know, but if they wanted me dead, they would have killed me at Richard's house.
Our soldiers have taken the terrorist James Heller into custody. In 3 hours, Heller will be tried for war crimes against humanity. If he is proven guilty, he will be executed in accordance with our laws.
The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. President Keeler holds a cabinet meeting aboard Air Force One.
As you are all aware, the Secretary of Defense and his daughter have been kidnapped by a terrorist cell. The terrorists have announced that they will put Jim on trial for war crimes, then execute him.
All of it broadcast for the world. Make no mistake, this country is under attack.
Foreign terrorists are operating on our soil, and intelligence indicates that the kidnapping may be some kind of trigger. First step in a series of larger attacks. Mark, what kind of protective actions are being taken?
We've changed all the codes and protocols the Secretary has knowledge of. Also, the other cabinet members have been sequestered.
All right, Melissa, where are we with trying to keep these people from broadcasting this?
The media outlets will all cooperate and not air it.
But the terrorists have announced that they will use the internet.
And we cannot control that. They're using technology that makes their feed untraceable. And we can't shut down the internet without disabling the command and control functions of the government and the economy.
Mr. President, the only way to stop this is at the source. We have to find the terrorists and rescue Secretary Heller.
Aaron, where is CTU on this?
We have search teams out in force, and we're working a few active leads, sir.
Anything promising?
We'll know very shortly, Mr. President.
Keep us closely posted. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing takes priority over finding the people who have Jim Heller and stopping them. Thank you.
A grim-faced Keeler walks away from his meeting. Meanwhile, back at CTU, Driscoll bounds up to Curtis.
Where are we with Heller's son?
Are we still trying to find out what he knows?
If he had anything to do with his father's abduction, we need to know. Get on it.
And try his emergency frequency.
What's going on? Where's Ronnie and Bauer with the witness?
We don't know.
What?
I just got off the phone with transit police. A hostile intercepted Andrew Page at the station. We can't reach Ronnie or Jack.
What do you mean you can't reach them?
They're not answering their phones, and there's been a report of a shooting at the station. I'm checking for an update right now.
Get recent pictures of Andrew Page and get them to our people on the ground. Also, set up a security grid around the station.
My system's already logged onto the station. I can get it faster.
All right, fine. You do tactical with me. Let's go, Edgar.
Edgar Styles.
Jack, let me pick Aaron.
Miss Driscoll. Jack Bauer's on line one.
Where are you?
Why have you and Ronnie not been in contact?
Aaron, Ronnie's been killed.
What are you talking about?
He was shot by a hostile who kidnapped Andrew Page.
Where are you now?
I'm in transit. I'm tracking them, but he doesn't know it.
Give me your location. I'll send backup to apprehend him.
Aaron, I don't think that's the right call. I believe that if I follow them, they're going to lead me to Secretary Heller and the men who kidnapped him.
Listen to me. The terrorists have just announced that they are going to try and execute Heller. In less than 3 hours, bring the man in now.
Right now, this is our best chance of finding him by then.
Jack, we had a deal.
Aaron, you're breaking up. Listen, have SWAT and rescue team standing by. I'll call you as soon as the hostel reaches his destination.
That call. Do you have a location?
No, it had a block on it.
I've just been informed that Ronnie LaBelle has been killed in the line of duty. The killer was a hostile connected to Heller's abduction. At this point, Jack Bauer is no longer cooperating with this investigation. All departments seem to be working on the location and capture of Jack Bauer and the hostile that he's tracking now. Sarah, I need you to reconfigure the grid and to include routes away from the station. I want all ground teams on this.
Chloe rushes over to her workstation and picks up the phone.
Downtown.
This is Chloe O'Brien from CTU. Do you have any new information about the kid who was abducted from your station?
No, we told you everything we had a few minutes ago.
What about surveillance cams? I can access them if you give me the port codes.
We're looking at them right now, Ms. O'Brien. There's nothing.
Thanks.
Sarah, by video phone.
Yes.
What are you doing there? I need you to help me with this grid.
What kind of help do you need?
The northeast quadrant is passcoded and I don't...
Pilot L1.
What?
That's the login.
Chloe, could you just get back here?
My friend Andrew, who I promised would be okay, do you mind if I try to find him?
Khalil checks his rearview mirror as he charges along a freeway. Andrew pops up his head to look, but Khalil shouts him down.
Get out!
Khalil looks again at the traffic behind him in his mirror. 907. Satisfied that no one is tailing him, Khalil phones Omar, who holds the stolen briefcase.
Yes?
I have the programmer.
Good. We need to know what he told CTU as soon as possible.
Proceed as planned. Understood. There's a problem at the train station.
What happened?
A federal agent interfered. I killed him.
Are you being pursued?
No. Anyone who left the station after me would have caught up to me by now.
Unless they don't want you to know they're there.
Take precautions. Make sure that you are not being followed. Go.
Khalil pockets his phone and thinks of a plan. 50 yards behind him, tight on his tail, Jack lies partly hidden by other cars. Khalil slowly moves across to the right and holds the middle lane. Just before an exit, Khalil suddenly swerves violently in front of two other cars and burns off the freeway. Jack misses the exit and can only watch him drive away. He hurries up the road to the entry slip road to see that the Lexus is nowhere to be seen. Jack suddenly does a handbrake U-turn, then heads the wrong way up the slip road. Cars weave and swerve madly to avoid hitting him. Jack nearly collides with a school bus, but manages to plow safely through. From the junction of a busy trunk road dead ahead, Jack sees the Lexus making another turn into a suburban street and manages to follow at a comfortable yet discreet distance behind. Back at the warehouse compound, Heller returns to Audrey's cell.
Dad. You okay?
Heller nods before they push him back into the cell.
Did they hurt you?
No. They just wanted me present while they broadcast an announcement. Gonna put me on trial.
For what?
Crimes against humanity.
That's ridiculous. When?
Less than 3 hours.
Heller kicks out in frustration.
Dad, I'm sure that Jack and the President are doing everything they can to find us. Maybe they'll get here before then.
I can deal with anything these bastards have got for me. Wish you hadn't come this morning, that's all.
Omar struts into the cell with a document.
This is a list of the offenses you are being charged with. Sign it.
He drops it.
I'm a senior member of the United States government. I'm not signing it.
Then you will die, Mr. Secretary.
pick up the document and sign it.
Omar threatens Hela with a pen. He gestures instead towards Audrey.
Pick up the document. Pick it up!
With Audrey held at knife point, Hela picks up the document from the floor, takes the pen, and signs. Nine ten. End of part one. 2, 9:15. Driscoll to Curtis.
Where are we on finding Bauer?
So far nowhere.
That's unacceptable.
There are a lot of places he could be. We're working up everything we can.
What else are you doing to find Heller?
After I'm done here, I'm gonna go find out what his son Richard knows. Sarah's working on the forensics from the kidnapping.
Have you gotten anything new yet?
No.
Great. What else?
Sarah Gavin.
Trying to trace the origin of the terrorist webcast.
And?
The code's been braided and I can't get into the system
file. In other words, nothing.
Ms. Driscoll, it's the president.
Make something happen. Yes, Mr. President.
I understand you lost one of your field operatives.
Yes, we did.
Did the engagement yield any witnesses or prisoners?
Not yet, but there's some hope.
Tell me.
Jack Bauer, who, as you know, used to work here, is currently in the field trailing a suspect.
Trailing him? Why doesn't he bring him in?
We're in the process of doing that, sir.
Aaron.
Are we going to be able to save Jim and his daughter before this trial starts?
I certainly hope so, sir. Mr. President, I have to ask you something now, as we may not have time later.
What is it?
We may find ourselves in a situation where we have Heller's location, but can't extract him safely. If that's the case, would you authorize in advance an all-out assault?
The assumption being that the secretary would not survive.
Correct.
We'll cross that bridge if the scenario presents itself.
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, Aaron.
9:17. Curtis answers his cell phone.
Manning.
Hey, Curtis, it's Marianne. Look, I know you're busy with the Heller kidnapping.
Yes, I am.
My friend Eileen said you're calling in level 5 consultants today because you're overloaded there.
We added some personnel because of the crisis.
She said you struck my name from the list. Why?
You don't meet the criteria, Marianne.
I'll give you that, Curtis. I have the qualifications and I have the clearance. Why'd you exclude me?
All right, you want it straight. I don't think we'd work very well together.
Why? Because we slept together a few times and you stopped calling me?
No, I stopped calling you because I realized you were using me to get ahead in your career.
Well, that's your interpretation, Curtis. And you didn't seem to have a problem with it at the time.
I'm not going to have this conversation.
Fine. I'll have it with Aaron Driscoll.
Marianne.
Consulting at CTU would be a huge opportunity for me, Curtis. And I'm not going to let you get in the way because you're uncomfortable.
Sarah.
Where should I post those FBI bulletins?
That's at 3.
Curtis looks troubled. Back on the highway in the midst of pursuit, Jack picks up his cell phone and calls Chloe.
O'Brien.
Chloe, it's me. Can you talk?
Jack, what the hell happened with Andrew?
Someone got to him before we could pick him up. Did you tell anyone at CTU where we were supposed to meet him?
No. What are you doing, Jack? Driscoll just announced you're operating outside her authority.
I don't have a choice. She's not handling this the right way.
What if you're wrong?
I'm not. This is the best chance we have of finding Secretary Heller.
Jack, if anything happens to Andrew...
Chloe, I'm doing the best I can, but right now our first priority is to find these terrorists.
So why are you calling me?
The hostile's headed towards the canyons. I'm gonna need satellite surveillance to help me track him without being seen.
You want me to steal satellite bandwidth from CTU without anyone knowing?
Yes.
Where are you?
I'm on Orchard Road, just north of the 14, about 4 miles east of Valencia.
Okay, Caltrans has traffic cams in the area, but you will need satellite coverage once he gets closer to the canyons.
Call me back as soon as you've got the coverage. I'll keep a private channel open.
I will.
Who was that?
It was personal.
While Chloe hacks into satellite protocols, Edgar approaches Sarah.
Something wrong?
I'm not sure. Chloe's acting kind of strange.
That's nothing new.
Sarah glances suspiciously towards Chloe. 9:19. Curtis climbs the stairs to Driscoll's office.
Hey, what do you need?
I just got off the phone with Marianne Taylor.
Erin, whatever she told you, it's coming from a very disturbed place.
That may be. But she's as qualified as any of the others you brought in today.
I'm not comfortable working with her. That should be enough for you.
Normally it would be. However, she mentioned that your pillow talk included a synopsis of the new data mining protocols.
That's a lie. If she got that information, it was from someone else. Now she's using it against me.
She knows details about the new UVX system. That's classified information. She can force us into a Section 1 security reboot and drag us through a 6-month investigation.
I don't believe this.
I asked her to come in. Deal with it. Do you have the results on Secretary Heller's son yet?
Yeah. Polygraph makes clear he didn't have any knowing involvement in his father's kidnapping.
But?
He's still insisting he didn't tell anyone his father was coming to his house this morning. The polygraph was inconclusive on that claim.
You think he's lying?
It's possible. Richard was the only one who knew where his father would be this morning. And he may have told someone about it.
Why would Richard protect somebody who's betrayed him?
Because he's too arrogant to believe that's what's happened.
It'll take days to go through his phone records. I want you to see if you can get the name out of him another way.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Erin, we're not even sure he's guilty of anything.
This is how we'll find out. Get started.
As Curtis leaves, looking even more troubled than he did before, Driscoll watches an up-to-the-minute surveillance feed of a very frightened, tense-looking Richard Heller, sitting by himself in the subdued lighting of a CTU holding room. 9:21. Back at the suburban luxury of the Oraz household, Beruze agonizes over his father's pointed instruction to call Debbie over to the house, terrified at the likely outcome. His mother, Dina, sits at her desk tapping at her computer and working through the Morning Post. He mulls over his dilemma in a storm of confusion and indecision, then eventually plucks up the courage to risk his father's anger and confide in his mother.
Did father talk to you about Debbie?
What about her?
When Dad told me to take the briefcase to Omar, Debbie followed me. She didn't know where I was going, she just wanted to talk.
Debbie saw the warehouse where we're holding Heller?
Yes, but there wasn't anything I could do about it.
You could have broken up with her a month ago, like your father and I told you to.
I know I made a mistake, but father found out she was with me, and now he wants me to get her over here. You know what that means. If he thinks there's the slightest chance she could expose what we're doing.
I didn't realize you felt so strongly about her.
She's not going to mess anything up, I swear to you.
What do you want me to do?
Talk to him. He'll listen to you. Please.
Okay. Your father is on his way to a meeting. I'll try to reach him.
Thanks, Mom.
As Beruze walks away contented, Dina's motherly expression turns to alarm. 9:23. End of part two. 9:28. Curtis approaches Richard Heller with a torture team.
When can I get out of here?
Secure.
Richard struggles as they strap him down to his chair. Driscoll observes through a one-way mirror.
Who else knew your father would be at your house this morning?
I told you, no one!
Curtis nods at the torturer, who opens a case of large hypodermic syringes.
What, are you crazy?
This works on a neurotransmitter level. Makes every nerve ending in your body feel like it's on fire.
You're bluffing. You know you can't get away with this.
By the time you're released, the mark on your arm will be gone. It'll be just your word against mine.
My father's Secretary of Defense, for God's sake.
I thought you hated him. Now he's dear old dad.
The syringe is brought close to Richard's arm. Just before injection, the torturer withdraws. Curtis observes Richard very closely, scrutinizing his behavior in minute detail. He loses his nerve and hurries out of the security door into the corridor, where an exasperated Driscoll confronts him for disobeying her orders.
I can't do it, Aaron. I'm not going to let Eric work in Richard Adler.
Why not?
Maybe he's protecting a friend, but he wasn't knowingly involved with the terrorists. It's an inappropriate use of force.
I gave you an order.
Then give it to me in writing, Aaron.
What are you suggesting, Curtis? That we release him?
No. I've seen good results with sensory disorientation. Cut off his sight, saturate his auditory. It's non-invasive.
Fine. Try it.
9:30, Navi Araz.
Yes?
I just spoke with Berus. He told me about the problem with his girlfriend. He's very upset, Navi.
That's what concerns me. He has feelings for this girl despite what he tells us. Now she's in the warehouse.
I know. It's very troubling.
I told him to get her over to the house so we can question her. Did he make the call?
No. He asked me to talk to you instead.
Hmm. What are we going to do?
Are you talking to Father?
I'll talk to you soon.
You'll take care of this?
Yes.
Thank you.
What did you say? Do I still have to call Dabby and get her over here?
No.
Meruz hugs and kisses his mother with thankful relief.
Thank you, Mother.
Dina squirms with discomfort. Meanwhile, Khalil carries on towards his rendezvous in the Lexus with a terrified Andrew perched on the back seat.
I'm going to pull over soon and we're going to talk, okay? Good. There's some things I need you to know. Today is not about me or you. It's about something bigger. What I need to know with certainty is that whatever you saw on the internet will not interfere with what we have planned. You have to convince me of that.
As Andrew sinks back in horror, Jack maintains his trailing distance some 50 yards behind. As they head into the sparsely populated canyon area beyond LA, Khalil passes under a bridge. He turns a sudden sharp left and continues down a dusty track, heading past a wire fence that leads below an underpass. The remote track is lined with burnt-out car hulks, and as Khalil parks at the bottom, two of Omar's henchmen approach him from a waiting car. 9:32. Jack parks at the top of the track of the main road, hooks up a cell phone earpiece to his ear, then selects a heavy weapon bag from the trunk of the four-track. Chloe calls.
Yeah?
It's gonna be a while on the satellite, ever since Heller was taking the Lotus through the roof.
How much longer?
I'm not sure yet. What is your current position exactly? I needed to update the request.
Suspect pulled over just past mile marker 31.
What did he get off for? There's nothing there.
I don't know. Chloe, I gotta go. Get back to me as soon as you got the satellite coverage.
Khalil drags Andrew out of the car, rips the tape from his unshaven face, and menacingly points a gun at Andrew's head. He gestures to the henchmen who haul him to his feet.
Get up.
Jack dashes through the dry desert scrub and finally takes up position behind a hillock, overlooking the henchmen as they force Andrew against the trunk of the Lexus. Jack watches through a handheld telescope sight as they beat him up with their fists. Back at CTU, Chloe gets computer access to a nearby traffic camera and begins to reposition it, enabling her to see Andrew's ordeal on the monitor. She zooms in and is horrified to witness one of the brutal henchmen beating Andrew repeatedly about the face. Having assembled the contents of the large bag, Jack observes them through the telescopic gun sight of an automatic sniper's rifle. Khalil beats Andrew with an iron bar.
Jack, I'm watching this.
How?
On Keltram's traffic cam. You gotta stop this.
If I intercede right now, we lose our opportunity to find Secretary Heller.
What did you tell CTU?
That someone was preparing to distribute some kind of positioning code on the internet.
What else?
I tried to dig deeper, but everything was in some kind of Arabic. I couldn't read it.
That's all you told CTU?
Yes, I promise.
Are you sure?
Jack, stop them. Just stop them. That's all I know, I swear. I promise. Please, just don't hit me anymore. Please.
Andrew is pushed to the ground as Khalil wipes his bloodied hands and contacts Omar by cell phone.
I talked to the programmer. I don't think there's a problem. He didn't tell CTU
enough for them to be able to stop us.
Are you sure?
Yes.
He only got a brief glimpse of the code. He was never logged onto our server.
I need you here. Get back on the road. Have them see what else they can find out. And then get rid of the body.
I'll see you soon.
9:35.
Chloe, how do you open a secure pipe to division?
Ask Edgar.
I did, he's busy.
Well, I'm busy too.
Why are you always so impatient with everybody?
Not everybody, just you. Now please go away.
Bitch.
Khalil climbs back into his car.
Jack, what's happening?
The hostile's moving, I've got to follow him.
Jack, you can't leave the Andrew there.
He'll kill him! Jack, please!
Khalil drives away in the Lexus, leaving the two henchmen to finish off Andrew. Chloe watches from the monitor as they throw Andrew onto the dusty ground away from their car. Jack chases after Khalil on foot, then stops to reconsider Andrew's fate. Meanwhile, Khalil reaches the main road and speeds away. The henchmen kick Andrew in the stomach and draw their pistols. Suddenly, two shots ring out and both henchmen are lying on the ground, dead.
Jack? Jack?
Yeah?
Is Andrew alive?
Yes, dispatch an ambulance to this location. Give me the damn satellite coverage!
Jack jumps as quick as he can back into the four-track and speeds along the trunk road in hot pursuit. Jack soon makes up time, catches up with the Lexus, and resumes his discreet trailing distance behind Khalil. Chloe on the phone.
It's right, just off the road next to the 31-mile marker. Please get there as fast as you can.
Chloe hurries past Curtis, visibly upset.
What's wrong?
She plows on, along the corridor, towards the ladies' room, oblivious to all around her. She barges through a glass door and grabs a huge pile of tissues from the dispenser, barely holding on to a flood of emotion as she avoids her guilty reflection in a mirror. She locks herself into the nearest cubicle and breaks down in tears. Imprisoned in their cell in the warehouse compound, Heller paces up and down in a boiler suit to pass the time. He sidles over to a weepy Audrey, sits gently beside her, and quietly whispers into his daughter's frightened ear.
When the trial begins, you may have an opportunity to escape. You have to take it, even if it's dangerous.
Maybe we'll have a chance before then.
They're never going to take their eyes off of me. It has to be when their attention is on the trial.
I don't want to get out of here without...
Forget about me. You have to take every chance. Promise me.
Dad, I guess you can.
You can. I want you to live your life. A full life. I want you to have a family. That's all I care about. You're my baby.
I can't do it.
Yes, you can. You can do it. Come on now.
From his four-track, Jack flips open his cell phone and calls Chloe, who hovers numbly beside her workstation, deep in emotive thought.
Chloe, you want me to get that?
O'Brien.
Chloe, it's me.
I was just looking at the CHP dispatch report. Andrew is in really bad shape. I will never forgive you. Do you hear me?
Chloe, I understand how you feel, but you've got to think through this clearly. We have terrorists on U.S. soil. They've bombed a train and they've kidnapped the Secretary of Defense. Right now, our only chance is to follow this hostile and hope that he leads us to Secretary Heller.
No, I'm not listening to you anymore. This is over.
I'm going to Driscoll.
No, you won't, Chloe, because you know I'm right.
No, I don't.
Chloe, if you didn't believe in what I was doing, you'd have turned me in already.
I hate that this is happening.
So do I. Chloe, I can't do this without you. I need your help to stop them. Chloe.
What?
Are you with me?
Yeah. I'll call you as soon as I have the satellite.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chloe sits full of seething unease. 9:45. Sarah to Driscoll.
Miss Driscoll, this is Marianne Taylor.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Miss Taylor? I'm very excited to have this opportunity to help you here. Hello, Curtis.
Marianne?
Curtis, take Marianne to an empty station and get her started on the data sorts.
Let's go. You'll be working over here?
You know, Curtis, I didn't want to go over your head, but you left me no choice.
Is that so?
I'll let it go if you will.
Get to work, Marianne.
Curtis walks coolly away. As he crosses the concourse, he notices Chloe behaving suspiciously.
Is there a problem?
No, why?
What are you working on?
Division protocol manifest.
I need you to build a firewall around Station 4.
Who's that?
Her name's Marianne. I just want to make sure she doesn't stray outside the area for assignment.
Fine. O'Brien.
Chloe, what's going on?
I don't think I can do this, Jack.
Why? What's the matter?
Curtis has me spread too thin, and I've got to get you a satellite and an overloaded system. I need more time.
We don't have more time. In 5 minutes, we're going to be coming up on Route 11. It's a two-lane road. We're going to be the only cars for miles. There's no way I can follow them without being seen.
All right. I think I know I can speed this up. I'll get back to you.
Chloe has an idea and glances over to Edgar. She hacks at her computer and shuts down the satellite connection from his computer to speed up her own. Still the new boy, Edgar immediately contacts Chloe for help and advice.
Chloe, the satellite subsystem tanked, and Driscoll wants these updates like now.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Chloe strides confidently over to Edgar, who hacks pointlessly in the vain hope of success.
I hope Driscoll doesn't get too upset. She really overreacts sometimes. Oh, this happened to me a few days ago. You can retrieve all your files from the auto backups in the server room.
Good idea.
Chloe taps in a simple code and instantly restores Edgar's system. Marianne sees her and looks on, perplexed. Chloe hurries back to her workstation, which flashes the words, "Access granted," and calls Jack immediately.
Yeah.
All right, I managed to steal you a block of time.
But there's no continuous coverage in the area you're in. I'll have to order a reposition.
Fine, then do it. Hold on. It looks like we're catching a break. He's pulling into a gas station.
Well, I hope he stays there a while, because this is going to take some time.
Get back to me as soon as you got it.
Okay, I will.
From the roadside, Jack observes Khalil as he fills his car with petrol, then checks his watch. 9:49. End of part 3. Part 4. 9:53. Marianne grills Edgar.
You're Edgar, right?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Marianne Taylor. Aaron Driscoll asked me to come in and help on data logistics.
Yeah, I heard something about that. Hi.
So, can you do me a favor?
Favor.
Yeah, you know, everyone's really busy, and I just feel like I'd be more useful if I had an overall on what's going on today.
The Secretary of Defense has been kidnapped.
I know that. I mean, tactically.
I don't really have time for this. I'm a little busy.
Why don't you just give me the main points, okay?
All right, we think Jack Bauer was following one of the terrorists.
We think?
Yeah, it's a little loose right now. He's off on his own doing this, and we can't find him.
I thought Bauer didn't even work here anymore.
He doesn't. Driscoll gave him the authority to do this one thing.
All right. Thanks, Edgar.
Marianne still looks perplexed. Over in the holding room, Richard is being subjected to sensory disorientation techniques. He wears metallic goggles that block out the light from his eyes, and also headphones that play an ear-piercing, high-pitched tone into both of his ears. He squirms his head from side to side with annoyance and fatigue. Curtis enters through the security door and sharply removes the headphones, causing Richard to jump. Then he removes the goggles and turns up the lights to their brightest intensity. He turns down the tone.
Richard. How long do you think it's been?
What?
How long do you think you've been sitting here like this?
3-4 hours.
It's been less than 30 minutes. Time's the first thing you lose track of with sensory disorientation. And it only gets worse.
This is illegal. You can't keep me here.
You'll be here until you tell me what I need to know.
I told you everything I know.
Your father was kidnapped by terrorists. Our polygraph analysis tells us that you're hiding something that might help us find him. Just tell me what it is, and all this stops.
You're not going to do this.
If you don't care enough about your father, tell me what I need to know. I'll get it out of you this way.
Curtis clasps the goggles back onto his head and replaces the headphones. Khalil is waiting in a queue at the service station shop. An anxious Jack calls Chloe.
O'Brien.
What's your time frame on the satellite reposition? He's going to be back on the road any minute.
My request is still in the queue.
Chloe, we've got to get that satellite coverage up and running now.
There's nothing I can do. You're going to have to find a way to keep him from getting back on the road. It's going to take as long as it takes.
Just hurry.
Okay, I will.
As Khalil approaches the front of the queue, Debbie arrives at the Araz household in her Ford Focus, much to Beruz's dismay.
Why is Debbie here? What did you do?
I called her and asked her to come over.
You said that you would help me, that you talked to Father.
Your father's right. We need to find out who she told about this moment.
I told you she didn't see anything!
Then there shouldn't be any problem.
What did you say to her?
I told her I was concerned about the two of you and that I wanted to help.
Come
on. Beerus, you know what's at stake. You do as you're told. Understand?
9:57. Uncertain of Beerus's loyalties, Dina pushes her son aside and opens the front door.
Debbie, thank you for coming.
Sure.
Hi. Come in. Debbie, please. Make yourself comfortable in the living room. I'll make tea.
Beerus and Debbie, alone in the living room.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm glad your mom called. She and your dad have problems with us being together. We should talk about it.
Debbie.
What's wrong?
You don't understand. You shouldn't have come here.
Why do you always say things like that?
Beerus walks in trepidation back to the kitchen, where his mother prepares tea, eyeing Debbie suspiciously through the window. Meanwhile, Audrey weeps as she leans for support on her cell wall. Khalil finally arrives at the cash till, and Jack's impatience boils over into yet another phone call to Chloe.
O'Brien.
Chloe, what's your bottom line? Am I going to have satellite coverage in the next minute or two?
I'm sorry, Jack. It's going to take at least another 5.
That's too long.
It's the best I can do.
Damn it. I'm going to have to figure out a way to keep this guy here. Keep working on it.
Jack has an idea. He jumps out of the four-track, pulls out a tray of weapons from the trunk, and chooses a handgun. He finds a shoulder bag and loops it over his head, then hides momentarily behind an SUV as he checks around. Then he purposefully makes his way across the forecourt towards the service station shop, just as Khalil hands over his money to the cashier. Outside the door, he dons a woolen ski mask, readies the handgun, and bursts into the store like a common robber.
Everybody put your hands up now! You don't move!
10 a.m. The end.